You're listening to SBS News.
It could take 6 years for the world to be vaccinated against COVID-19. So vaccines must be shared with developing countries to ensure more dangerous variants don't emerge. So says one of Australia's infectious disease experts, who was among a trio addressing the National Press Club and offers specialist views on the coronavirus health crisis. Infectious disease physician Sanjaya Senanayake says while 70 countries have begun vaccination programs, at current rates, global vaccine coverage of 75% won't be reached for about 6 years. He says that carries its own risks.
And if we continue this global vaccine rollout while in other parts of the world infection continues unchecked, then we will see more sinister strains emerge which might have further impacts on vaccine efficacy. Therefore, if you are a believer in vaccine nationalism, wanting the best impact of vaccination in your own country, you also have to embrace vaccine altruism and ensure that vaccines are delivered in sufficient number and in a timely manner to the developing world.
Professor Robert Boy is an infectious disease paediatrician at the University of Sydney. He says better studies in larger numbers are needed on the effectiveness of vaccines. South Africa suspended its rollout of the AstraZeneca vaccine after some data showed it gave reduced protection against mild to moderate illness caused by the country's new strain of the virus. Professor Boy says while he doesn't want to downplay concerns, Australia's very different health system and demographics to South Australia make comparisons difficult.
I'd like to contend that the effect in South Africa may not just be the virus, but it might also be the population, the people. Because they live in such a crowded situation, in many cases, apart from a few rich people, they have a much higher force of infection, so the virus can spread more easily from person to person. So a virus vaccine like Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca that appears less effective may be partly to do with the population and the behaviour. So a 60% effectiveness in South Africa might actually be 80% in a richer country with less crowding and a better health system.
Meanwhile, Victoria has now confirmed 8 cases linked to an outbreak at the Holiday Inn at Melbourne Airport. The Victorian government has now closed the quarantine hotel while deep cleaning, contact tracing and investigations take place. Return travellers are being evacuated to another location. The Victorian branch of the Australian Medical Association says the ventilation system in multiple hotel quarantine facilities in the state do not meet standards for COVID-19 infection control. Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says the use of a nebulizer, which changes liquid medication into vapor, is suspected of being responsible for spreading the virus.
It really vaporizes medication or liquid into a very fine mist. And if that's breathed in, especially when it's used as medication and someone is infectious or later tests positive, then that picks up the virus and that mist can then be suspended in the air with very, very fine aerosolised particles.
Professor Mary Louise McClaws is an Australian advisor to the World Health Organisation. She says vaccines are not enough to contain the spread of COVID-19. She says Australia needs to strengthen its quarantine program, which now poses the biggest threat to Australia.
So we have variants of concern that are at risk of seeding our community. And it therefore makes it very important that we have no breaches at all in our quarantine program, none. We have the B117 from the UK that took just 4 months to become the circulating virus at something like 83% of all circulating strains. The South African virus took just 3 months. And therefore, I constantly remind you that we do need to shore up our quarantine program. It can't be great. It has to be the very best.
And South Australia has announced it will close its border to Greater Melbourne at midnight in response to the Holiday Inn outbreak. Regional Victorians are permitted to travel into South Australia and will not be affected by the changes. South Australia Police Commissioner Grant Stevens says South Australia has been monitoring the situation in other states.
We are in constant contact with the Victorian authorities. The current situation we're dealing with is not one that's emerged in the overnight or in the last few hours. We've been watching very closely what's happening, and we also have levels of information regarding their contact tracing and community testing.
Restrictions in New South Wales will be eased from this Friday. Face masks will only be mandatory on public transport and in taxis or rideshare vehicles. Currently, masks are still mandatory for some hospitality workers and are highly recommended in retail settings. Health Minister Brad Hazzard urges residents to continue wearing a mask despite the relaxing of rules.
It still will be sensible to wear masks in other situations where you cannot socially distance. I think it's important that our community knows that as we do ease back these restrictions, we also should remember that we are still in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. So it can be expected that at some point, it may well be somewhere in Australia, we will have breaches of quarantine because it's a human system.
The state will also revert back to the 2 square metre rule for all indoor and outdoor venues except for gyms. A ban on hotel quarantine security guards and other staff working second jobs in Western Australia is set to come into effect from next week. And for health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.